Thanks, guys. You might have scared him, Pastor, when you said that elongated term. That means I was going to preach like a long, long time. I'll be gentle with you. I will, but I'm going to pour out my heart a little bit. I'm glad to be here. I got this funny thought when I was sitting there. When I was a kid, I always had this idea of Russia, right? Russia has Siberia. Well, U.S. has North Dakota. And when you did something wrong in Russia, they would send you there. So I was sitting there going, Lord, I didn't know. I just was asking the Lord. Not that you all did anything wrong. I don't know how you got here, but I got sent here. So I was like, Lord, you sent me to Siberia. No, actually, on a serious note, I'm here because I want to be. I could be anywhere right now this weekend. I've got a lot of invites to choose from. I chose to come here. I'm here because I want to be. And honestly, I'm not here for an offering. We covered that, me and Pastor. I'm here because I want to be. I get my own plane tickets. I don't need to really tell you this, but I feel like it's all right in my heart. I buy my own plane tickets everywhere I go. I don't put anything on the church. I didn't request one thing from you, except if I could stay with somebody, maybe if that was available or whatever. But I got to stay at the hotel, which is amazing. I don't ask for anything. I don't ask for an honorarium. I don't ask for reimbursements. I didn't get you to get my plane ticket. Honestly, guys, I'm here because I want to be. And with all my heart, I believe everything that I'm preaching. And I believe it's for us. Amen? If I came here for any other reason, then I would have to, in my conscience, question what I'm doing. And I know there's a lot of stuff out there, but don't let that stuff jade your heart. The truth is still the truth. Jesus is still Lord. If somebody misappropriates their gifting, their calling, finances, it doesn't mean truth change. Means people need change. So please don't ever get tricked into letting where people are or aren't decide where you are or aren't. Don't let your life be a result of others. Let your life be a result of Him. Come on, I've been around now and I've learned that a lot of us are letting other things matter way more than what matters really matters most. And a lot of us are letting what we've been through and who did what and who didn't do what decide who we are and how we are. And then we sing Jesus is Lord when the song's right, but we're letting other things govern and decide our life. And I'm encouraging you to never let that happen in your heart. Never let that happen in your life. It's possible to live in Jesus, and it's possible to let Jesus decide who we are and how we are. Amen. I'm going to talk about it a little bit, man. You sang some songs that had me going. I was like, man, that'll preach. Wow, that'll preach. Two of your songs had about walking in the light and shining in the light, walking in the light. And the one line in the second song was shine the light. And that's honestly, I mean, if I flew all the way from Pennsylvania to come here, I might have just flew here to tell you that the number one reason Jesus came is to put life inside of us and light back inside of us, so that we can manifest Him and make Him known and walk in His image and live by the Spirit, so that everything that God intended, guys, from the beginning was restored through what His Son did on that cross, so that you and I could have a brand new perspective, not just go to heaven someday, a brand new perspective, a brand new motive, a brand new reason for being. All of a sudden, we could wake up with a different why than we used to have before we knew the Lord. Did you ever notice how people live up and down? Do you ever notice how we're good one day and maybe not so good? People say, how you doing? Oh, hanging in there. Come on, we've all been around. We've all said those things. And life, if we really look at it, life is deciding how we're doing. And usually our answer to their question is based on how it's been in recent moments. Well, let me challenge you today. What does any of that have to do with who He really is and who He is in you and why He's in you? So if we're not careful as Christians, and the reason I love to travel is just to stir these things up in people and plant these things and sow these things. Bible says the kingdom of God is if a man scatters seed. So I don't have to have a elongated service. I could, but I don't think I have to. I didn't mean for Pastor to scare any of y'all, but if you don't sow, nothing grows. And I just want to stir your hearts. I don't weigh services. I don't go back to the hotel and say, boy, did they receive that? Was that okay? I am so far past that. I'm living my life in him a certain way for a long time. He's honored me to come here and let me stand here and give me a microphone and turn me loose. So I'm just going to throw these thoughts out there. And in my heart and mind, let me just show you how simple I am. I'm sowing seed tonight. You're here. I'm sowing seed. These thoughts are going to be heard, whether you try to receive them or not, or try not to receive them or not. I don't even think about any of that. I'm just excited I get to sow. Because I've learned if I don't sow, nothing's growing. But if you do sow, people can think about stuff. You might discard it. You might not even think deep on something. 2 weeks from now, it might come to your heart. You might be in the middle of something, and something that you heard might just come to your rescue. It's just amazing how God works, right? But in all you're getting, the Bible says in Proverbs 4, in all you're getting, not some of you're getting, in all you're getting, get understanding. I read in my Bible that people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And in all you're getting, get what? Understanding. So you grow up hearing this phrase. Did you ever hear this phrase growing up? What you don't know won't. Did you ever hear that growing up? The Bible says the total opposite. What you don't know is destroying you. Isn't it amazing we grew up with a language that taught us the total opposite of this book? What you don't know won't. And what you don't know is destroying your life. The things we don't see and know and understand about him are a detriment to us. So in all our getting, get what? Understanding. He didn't say blessing. He didn't say protection. He didn't say provision. Hey, those things are awesome. But he said get understanding. And just in the years that I've traveled and stuff, guys, I've realized that, and I'm not, when I say these things tonight, please understand that I'm not implying you're any of those things that I'm saying. I'm saying don't let yourself be, protect yourself from it. I'm not saying these things because there's trouble in the room. With what I get to do, a lot of times when I'm speaking, people think, oh man, I wonder what he's picking up. I wonder what he's perceiving. And we think just every time you're saying something, it's because there's trouble. Or you're talking about something, it's because somebody's doing it. No, I wonder if we're saying it to say, don't ever do that. Don't give yourself this. I wonder if it's more protective than anything. I wonder if it's just giving understanding to keep people protected in the truth, right? I don't think we always have to mess up and get to the end of something before we can get it right. I think we can see that thing now, right? What I've learned when I'm traveling and I've noticed is a lot of sincere Christians, I'm not talking about hypocrites. I'm not talking about people that are saying one thing and intentionally doing another. I'm talking about good people that see their need for a savior. I'm talking about people that sincerely cried out and asked for forgiveness. I'm probably talking about a lot of you. I've noticed that when we come into this thing, we don't understand totally why we're coming in, whether the way we come in, what we heard to even convict us to come in. A lot of times we become a Christian for our sake rather than his name's sake. We kind of come in this thing for what he can do for me and how he can help me and how he can help me get through and provide for me and protect me and keep my family whole. And a lot of times it's like we're Christians for what he can do for me now that I'm a Christian, instead of how he can transform me, make me more like him so I can walk in the light like we sang and live with impact and people can get a look at who he is through my life. Now, I'm just telling you, that's a high priority to the kingdom of God. A high priority is your transformation. Your transformation is really a high priority. Like praying a prayer to go to heaven is one thing. That's preached pretty prevalent all over the country. Just praying a prayer, call it getting saved, so we can go to heaven when the trumpet blows. We'll make sure your name's in the book called life. We got that scripture down, right? So a lot of people are praying a prayer to go to heaven. Instead of understanding heaven's coming into them, their whole life is being changed by the gospel because what they're doing is they're denying themselves. That's how you receive the kingdom. You deny yourself so you don't live for self-intention, self-will, self-purposes, self-motives. You're actually living for his great name. You're living for the kingdom of God. Are you following me? Matthew 6 says, seek ye what? Not second, certainly not fourth. Seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? It's the function of the king. Very simply put, the kingdom of God is how the king functions. It's the kingdom is the expression of the function of the king. Like, the kingdom is an expression of who the king is. And the kingdom of God is where? It's here. And he said, don't look there, don't look here, don't look there, for the kingdom of God is where? Oh my goodness, the kingdom of God is within you. And you're supposed to what? Seek ye first, not blessing, not provision, not a promotion, not protection, not favor, not breakthrough. Come on, I hear these phrases. I've been a Christian since 95, guys. I've been around. I've been very involved with folks. We have a lot of one-liners, a lot of cliches. Oh, I'm just waiting for my breakthrough. Oh, I'm just praying. I'm just waiting for God to. And it's okay to believe God for things, but you can't let those things and how they're working out decide who you are and how you are. You're being deceived. You can't get betrayed in life and then live betrayed and tell me you laid down your life. Ooh, man, I feel that in the room. This is okay. We'll get in a good place. No, I feel a wrestling with that. Listen, you cannot get betrayed in life and then live betrayed and convince me that you've laid down your life. You're not living for you. You're living for the kingdom. So if somebody mistreats you, what an opportunity to shine. So what would Jesus do if he's betrayed? You say, well, you don't know how I feel. Well, run that by him. Was he ever betrayed? Was he ever done wrong? Here's one thing about him. He was done wrong for doing totally right. And that sure changes things. Because be honest with me, in your life, when you know you did right and your right was called wrong, that's when you reacted the most. I know that's when I reacted the most. When my good was called evil, I didn't handle that as well as when my evil was called evil. Are y'all with me? And it happened to Jesus every day. Every day they nitpicked, every day they backbit, every day they challenged and tried and tested, every day they judged and schemed, every day. If you look at the Bible, he wasn't received well, people. And he never let that decide who he was and how he was. And this same living example named Jesus said to me, follow me. He didn't say sing to me. He didn't say pray to me when you're overwhelmed. He said, follow me. And if you're going to follow me, Matthew 16, there's something you're going to have to do. You're going to have to deny yourself because it's the biggest problem on the planet. You living for you is the biggest lie that ever was. This is what I get out of the word, and I'll make clarity out of all this, but let me just paraphrase what I hear God saying to me when he's telling me to deny myself. He's saying, you were never made for you. You were made for my image. You were made to live in my spirit and by my spirit, and you were made to live for my kingdom. You were never made for you. And the biggest lie on the planet is every day men live for themselves when they're made for his image. A worse scenario is now we're Christians, if we're not careful, for ourselves. So you have discouraged Christians because life isn't going the way they've been praying or hoping. Are you guys with me? All of a sudden you have Christians that are going through a season of frustration and anger with God, quandary, perplexed. Where has he been? Why? How? Well, I thought he would. Why didn't he answer my prayer? Well, no, I just don't pray about it anymore. Come on. A sure sign that you're in it for what you can get from him instead of how you can become more like him. And that motive will never, ever see you blessed. You will never experience the grace of God that's available. You will always be in a quandary because life will always be speaking louder than truth. And the problem is truth is where you find freedom. Are y'all with me? Well, I'm not correcting you. I'm cheering you on, man. I didn't fly up here to spank anybody. I flew up here to tell you who you are, to cry it out from this platform with this microphone on. Thanks for the opportunity. Come on, we're worth his blood to him. To him, we're worth his death. Us coming alive is worth him dying. He believes that. See, no preacher, now I didn't know Sheldon, but no preacher ever taught me that growing up. I should have known you. No preacher ever taught me that. They always said he died because I was a sinner. He died because I need forgiveness. He died, and he had to die because I sinned. I get it. I did need forgiveness, but he didn't die because I'm a sinner. He died to restore what was lost. He came to seek and save that which was lost. There was something lost through sin. There was something lost by Adam. It was his created value. It was his purpose. It was God's intention. It was all lost through sin. And then you and I get born into Adam, into what's lost. And we get trained by a lie from birth, from instinct, from every day of our life. We're just trained by the wisdom of the world. And it's critical that you hear the gospel for what it really is. And it's not just some blessing basket. It's not just some shun hell and gain heaven or gain heaven and shun hell. It's not just, hey, you better pray the prayer and make sure you're going to heaven when he comes. You never know when he's coming, bud. It's more than if you hit a tree on the way home tonight and die and don't know where you're going. Come on, guys. It's so much more. It's about Christ in you. The hope of glory. Yeah, it's about walking in the light as he's in the light. This isn't about what I get from him. It's about what I become because of him. It's about putting a whole new reason for being inside of me. It's about getting back what Adam lost, the Redeemer, my Redeemer. He lives. The word redeemed means to bring back to original value. Yeah, bought back or brought back to original value. That's the meaning of redemption, the redemption of man. What's he saying? The bringing back of why you're here in the first place. Whoa. Now, wouldn't it make sense that I need to make sense of that and come into this thing for the right reason to walk in the full measure of grace that he paid for? Or these little foxes called wrong thinking, wrong believing, or lack of understanding, or just destroyed for the lack of knowledge, will just keep stealing this precious fruit that wants to grow on this vine. Yeah? Or on this branch. He's the vine, we're the branch, right? But on this tree. I've seen people live so up and down. I've seen good people live up and down because they're living from yesterday's way, yesterday's mentality. Stuff like this. Well, you said, well, if you wouldn't have said, I wouldn't be so. Well, I'd have never said it back if you didn't. Well, you're the one that started it. Well, don't call me. You should have. Look, you can't tell me that's not self-centered. You can't even convince me anymore that's normal. Heaven doesn't know what you're doing. It's not in heaven. Animosity's not in heaven. Unforgiveness isn't in heaven. Here's what we say. I'm trying to forgive. Give me time. It takes time. Why do we have such a grid for unforgiveness? Because we were born into the lie and we just think it's the normal way of man. And because we've hurt so much, because we've been self-centered, we've had a lot of pains and letdowns and broken trust. We've been jaded. We've been touched wrong. A lot of us by a very young age have been through our share of stuff. And we have been face to face to the fall of man. And the fall of man has begun to etch us and potter us and shape us instead of the wonderful hand of God. At a very young age, people are no more than a product of how they've responded to how it went down. At a very young age. And then there's usually identity crisis in that, low esteem in that, a low value of themselves in that because people haven't valued them. They start believing they're not worth much. Significant people in their life don't acknowledge them, and that's a clincher. And now because my dad didn't, my mom and my grandfather and they or an uncle touches you wrong, and all of a sudden you weigh your life based on all that. And you weigh your value, your importance, and how people see you. And ultimately your whole view of you is skewed through the way life unfolded. It's called identity crisis. Identity crisis, when people have low esteem. You can do the studies on this. I know you know this, Pastor. Almost every addictive behavior is attached to a low esteem and people not seeing the value of their individual personal life. Almost every addictive behavior you can track to somebody not valuing themselves. So they don't have a high regard for themselves, so they live up to the low level in which they see themselves. The gospel wants to restore all that. I was taught my whole life that he just died on the cross because I'm a sinner. And it left me a hopefully forgiven sinner. Terrible message. He did not die on the cross because I'm a sinner. He had to die because I sinned. But he died on the cross because I was a lost son. And he wanted to restore me back to the Father. It's scripture. He's the way, not the. He's the truth, not the. And he's the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Nobody taught me that growing up in church. They just said, I'm a sinner. I'm a bad boy. I'm going to keep doing bad things. I need this kind of forgiveness in my life. So pray this prayer. By the time I was 12, it was a mandate in the church I went to. By the time you were 12, you had to go through a class and had to get water baptized. Well, that sure transformed my life. Had nothing to do with me understanding. Had nothing to do with me believing. I was still just as insecure. I was still as angry and frustrated. Come on, you can lead a guy in a street corner prayer to go to heaven, and he's still angry at his wife, and he still hates his job, and he's mad at his boss. I won't teach people that. I teach people, I sit right on a plane. I sat on a plane with a man today on the way into Williston. That precious man cried 3-4 times on the plane. I watch it all the time. I go after him. I got a big knife. You can't see it, but it's so sharp. No, he said, oh, this is by design. And he was just precious. This guy was on page. He didn't have problems and wasn't living in lies and stuff like sometimes you run into a lot of people in unforgiveness and hurt. Oh, I used to go to church. And that's a dead giveaway. But here's what it tells me, Pastor. They're defining their Christianity by church attendance, not Christ-likeness. So because they don't go to church, they have no relationship with Jesus, because going to church is Christianity in their mind. Are you with me? So they have no intimacy with the Lord. And I begin to talk about that stuff quickly. I do. I've had so many people cry on airplanes beside me. It's fun. It is fun. I love it when guys cry, man. I just love it. I just poke them all the more. I want them to gush. You know, some people need a good, humble cry. This man wasn't crying that way. It's not because of that. This man was precious to me. I saw in his heart, he was a gem. This guy was really cool. And he was so easy to talk to, but he cried. He probably cried 3-4 times. He kept apologizing. A couple times he couldn't talk. Because he was so emotional, he was choking on his words. And he said, I'm so sorry. I said, no, it's all okay, man. You're poking him. It's okay. Listen, I'm not being condemning, and I'm not saying you're not in a good place. What I'm saying is, when you're in those situations, it sure is good to be clear and calculated and available, not overwhelmed and hurt and frustrated. Sure is good when you're walking by folks to know you have something in your heart to give. and you're not just caught up in your day, your life, and your feelings, and your stuff. Sometimes the highest level of Christianity I've seen, even as a pastor full-time for a while, was just people self-consciously praying their way through their day, trying to get God to move on their behalf in ways they feel like they need him to move to make their day better, convenient, and smooth. Has zero to do with why you're a Christian. Zero. I'm not even giving you 1%. It has zero. You did not wake up in Christ today, scripturally, for your day to go the way you hope. Scripturally, you woke up for one reason. By mercy, you've been given one more day to look more like him, and you woke up to shine. Here's the command we have from the Lord. Who knows he's the light of the world? Did he say that? And then what he turned around and say to his disciples? You're the light of the world. Why? Because he's going to put himself and who he is in us. So he went to sit with the Father at the right hand. He sent Holy Spirit to the earth to do in us what he would do if he was here, only in as many as would believe. That's multiplication. And he said, let your light so shine before men. Just bear with me. That doesn't sound like discouragement. That doesn't sound like frustration. That doesn't sound like a saga and a story and a justification for wherever it is you're at when you're not shining. I'm not being smart. Watch this. Well, you don't know what I've just been through. Run that by Jesus. Serious. Because if you run that by a hurting friend, they're just going to relate to your pain and call it sensitivity. And anybody that doesn't agree isn't sensitive and doesn't love you. So the only friends you have in that season are the ones that understand your pain. But how's that help you go free? How's that help you from not being in that pain again? Did you ever notice that hurting people surround themselves with people that understand and accommodate their pain? It reduces them to the highest grace they receive is the fact that somebody seems to care. That's the highest grace they're receiving, is that somebody seems to care. How's that freedom? See, you don't need to know what I've been through. You need to know what he's been through. Because I live from where he's been, not where I've been. It doesn't matter that my dad didn't love me growing up. It has no bearing on my life that my dad was an alcoholic when I was a kid and growing up all through my teens. And what does any of that have to do with now that Christ has come? Why is that still my story? Why does that have any bearing on the truth if the truth makes me free and he's greater? Do I need my dad to make up for lost time, or is he the redeemer of all things? Do I find myself through my dad, or do I find myself through Jesus? Oh, come on. I can feel a little bit of challenge in some of this. Some of us have allowed our history to define how we're doing today and who we are. And it's the only place we've ever found identity. I promise you people, the only place you find identity is through him. Through him. That's why he tells you to not trust in flesh. That's why he tells you not to lean on your own understanding. If your thought pattern and your mindset isn't producing life and exciting your heart, then you're on the wrong track. He came to give you life and life more abundantly. Like if you're not stirred up on the inside, you might be dwelling on the wrong things. Let me ask you this. Why is it so easy to cry because of people instead of cry for those same people? Because we've taken life personal and not him. And we go to church and we're sincere in coming. I'm glad we're here. I'm not correcting you. We go to church, but we get tricked into letting church take the place of becoming her and knowing him. And then we run the risk of trying to even do better church or more church instead of more love. Are you following me? Watch this. I've been trying. I feel like the grace is on me tonight to just be a little more reserved than normal. And I probably look passionate to you. I am super calm tonight. Oh, I actually feel like really super subdued for you. That's just God, so you're able to receive me, because you actually are laughing like I'm joking, like I'm super passionate to you. So if I was the way I feel inside, you might be overwhelmed. You might write me off. No, seriously, that's how gracious God is. I'm flipped out over this gospel. I'm free from me, Pastor. The biggest lie in my life was me waking up for me, needing you to love me, needing you to encourage me, for me to be encouraged. Come on, that's idolatry. Now I'm only as good as you're doing me? Well, then what makes Jesus so amazing? If I'm only as strong as your weakness, why is he so amazing? Why? Because he takes me to heaven and maybe gives me a promotion if I pray hard, or I might get a check, a big check in the mail if I believe. And I'll tell you what makes him amazing. He taught me who I was, apart from any other thing in my life. He taught me who I am and why I'm here. And he's so consistent and steady because he never changes. This truth won't be different tomorrow. But it won't be old. It won't be any different a month from now. So I could get treated totally wrong and still live from all the right places, because being treated wrong won't change a thing. It'll just make a draw on him. Oh, because he's taught me how not to cry for me anymore. Because I denied myself. I picked up my, and I'm following him. Not asking for blessings, following him. Not sending up my prayer list, following him. Oh, are you with me? Is it wrong to believe for a promotion? No. Is it right to pray protection over your family? Yeah. But you don't let the promotion decide your disposition and your expression. And if you never do get the promotion, you don't get disheartened and stop believing God and loving God, and because then you're a dead giveaway. That you've reduced your father to a genie in a bottle or somebody that grants your wishes. Don't you make him a genie in a bottle when he's the transformation of our lives. Are you guys okay so far? Just me just chatting like this? I know I didn't read a scripture. Is anybody thrown by that? Do you want me to read something? I can read. In the beginning. In the beginning. God said. Are you guys okay? It's just where I'm at right now. This is just where I feel like, just kind of a little fireside chat, family chat, and it won't be elongated. Here's the true deal. In Genesis, God said, what did God say in Genesis 1, what, 26? He said, let us make who? But he didn't just say, let us make man. He wasn't just toying with something. He wasn't just testing and trial by error. He had intention in his heart. He said, let us make man in our image, in our own likeness. He wanted to make man, right? So the next verse says, he made man both male and in his image, in his own likeness, and he blessed him, right? So right there, you find the intention of God in creating man. So there you find man's purpose. The reason man's on the earth is to walk in and manifest and make known the image of God. Now, we've been so far removed from that because we think we're just evil, filthy flesh waiting to sin every moment and sinning even if we don't realize it. That's what we've bought into. Oh, we've bought into that. We just assume we're all evil and wicked, and we quote a lot of Old Testament scripture. The Bible says I'm a new creation. He wrote to the saints of Ephesus. He didn't write to those about to sin any minute. He didn't say to those in Philippi who are going to need the blood in short time. We have so boasted in our ability to fail and called it humility that we've denied the grace he paid for to change us. And we have gotten so busy following each other, we failed to follow him. So when you talk about it, people can hardly relate. Keep it real, brother. Don't be in denial. Well, everybody has their moments. Wonder if everybody doesn't have to have their moments. Wonder if you have your moments because you believe that. Wonder if you take away the belief system and the plane can't land on the runway because you took it out. Wonder if you actually wake up every day and settle in your heart that nobody owes you a thing. Wonder if you got saved in 1995 and Holy Spirit taught you way back then to wake up every day and nobody owes you a thing, so your day won't be hinged on what is and isn't. Your day will be hinged on who is. And wonder if you set your heart that nobody owes you a thing, not even your spouse. Woo! And so all this teaching that's crept into the church, 50-50, men are a certain way, women are a certain way, we need to understand each other. No, I need to understand him and become love, and I'll touch you right. See, because here's the problem with that message. When I'm trying to accommodate you because you're made a certain way and you're trying to accommodate me, and I don't fulfill that, then I'm your reason for not being like him. It can't be true. You can't blame your disposition and your behavior on your spouse. Are you kidding me? You're going to do that when you stand before the Lord? You think you're going to walk into the light of who he is and go, man, I'd have done better if it wasn't for that bum. No, you're going to look into his fiery eyes of love and realize you didn't believe him, you believed them. See, here's what I've learned a long time ago. You can't let one person decide who you are and how you are unless it's Jesus. And there's so many of us letting people be Lord in our lives, even our spouses, because they hold the title of spouse. And because we say we love them, but really expect of them, and our I love you normally means I need you. There's failed expectations in many of our lives. Here's a good example. Why can't we disagree without animosity? Why is there always tension in the middle of disagreement? Because people need to be right. It's self-centered lies. It's a form of control and manipulation. And you're trying to get people, especially our spouses, to submit and yield and agree. And if they don't, we're offended, we're angry, we're frustrated, or we're intensely trying to change their mind. That's a good sign that you haven't denied yourself. It's something to look at for all of us, folks. Here's the truth. Did you ever see anything like that in Jesus's life? So did Jesus teach us that way? Or did Jesus teach us the way? Did Jesus model any of that in his life? So we didn't learn it from him. So if we didn't learn it from him, where'd we learn it? He said, call no one on earth your teacher. And he said, Father. Right before that, he said, Matthew 23:9. He said, call no one on earth your father. That was good. You're on it, buddy. He said, call no one on earth your father. The word father means come forth from. In other words, don't limit, regulate, and identify your life by natural means, heritage, and biology, and all that stuff. Don't say, well, I'm this way because my dad. Well, you don't know what it was like when I was growing up. Come on, stop selling cheap. You're not for sale. No, I'm being serious. You're not growing up. You're 35. You're 45. You're 50. Why are you talking about when you were growing up? You're 45, and the Spirit of God is inside of you. Look, I'm sorry we all have those stories, but if we go through this room, and I'm not being insensitive, bear with me. If we start with this young lady and we just go through horror stories and get everybody to share their worst of worst and go the whole way through the room, by the end of the time, the only thing we'll establish is who's been through the most hell. And because they've been through more hell than us, we can't help them because we aren't in their shoes, and all we can do is feel sympathetic and there's no answer. So the worship team will come up and we'll sing it's all about heaven, but we made it all about hell. Yeah, this is serious. I asked the Lord a while back, about a year ago. I said, Lord, I've been doing this thing now and I'm involved with a lot of folks. I talk to a lot of people. And I said, why is yesterday and people's past and their story. Why are people writing books, my story, when there's no strong redemptive punchline? I asked the Lord, why is it so gripping to people? And this is what I heard in my heart. It's the only place they've ever found any sense of identity, whether good or bad. So they cling to it because they believe it's who they are. And they can't let it go because they find themselves there in their story. Well, if I'm reading my Bible right, you're a new creation, old things. And how many things? How many? So I guess your story passes away. I guess you have a new tablet and a new pen. I guess you have a new clean foundation. I guess all things are made. New life through Jesus Christ. That doesn't sound like, well, you don't know what it was like when I was growing up. It was hell when I was growing up. Are you kidding me? Some of you know what I'm saying. There was tension in my home. I had a drunk dad and I had a mom that was yelling back, and I had a mom threatening to leave, and I remember crying myself to sleep thinking I was going to live in a split home. And we had poverty. We had sheriff knocking on the door because bills weren't being paid because there was a lot of alcohol stuff going. You know what I'm saying? What does any of that have to do with Christ in me? Yay. So now I have the ability to look back on that, to see my dad. My dad's living. To love my dad, to have compassion on my dad. My dad's not drinking anymore. My dad got born again because I got born again. That sure beats being angry and bitter at dad and trying to get him to make up for something he can never make up for. Holding it over his head for the rest of his life that he was never there for me when I was a kid like he could have been. Just venting your anger, trying to make him feel guilty, and he can never restore. You can never go back and redo it. You can never gain that thing back. That time is over. So you make the most of now and you walk in truth now. You pick up your cross. You follow Jesus. That's a Christian. What's that mean to pick up your cross? It means never let sin against you produce sin in you. Don't you find a justification to be less than who he is? Don't you let your story be detailed enough to find a reason in your heart to believe and express something outside of who he is and what you see in him. That's carrying your cross. Never, ever, ever repaying evil for evil, but overcoming evil with good. I'm telling you, I know we could be vague with this and say, hey, we should be the most blessed people on the earth. We should be the happiest people. No, I'm trying to put definition to this thing. I'm trying to put clarity to where you wake up and challenge the why behind your life from this night forward if you've never really done that. Will you actually look at your own marriage in your heart and take your eyes off your spouse and say, as far as this person's concerned, I'm going to walk in love and they don't owe me a thing and I'm going to manifest Jesus. You say, well, nobody's going to make me a pincushion and a doormat and I'm not going to be some enabler and some pacifist. Is that what Jesus was? Or was he living, breathing love? See, no matter what they did to him, they couldn't change him. Because he said, he's one with the Father. He knows where he came from and he knows where he's going. Boy, if we could all just get that. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. I'm on this short little mission called life. Just a short little window, man. Monday, I turned 58. 58. When I was these kids' age back here, 58 was a fossil, dude. Like, 58 was the Ancient of Days. Like, to them, I look like a very old man. I know, when I was their age, 35 was really old. I'm 58, some of you are more. But it seems like yesterday, doesn't it? Come on, be honest. Who's 58 or more? Time just rolling, ain't it? Come on, you got this one little window called life. Watch this, you don't even have to be 58 or more. You could be 16, and it seems like yesterday you didn't think you'd ever make it to 16. And it's funny how life is. Like when you're a child, when you're young, you have these goals. You're like, or you meet somebody. I met some kid at a house one time and he was 15 and I was like 9. And he was like instant idol, you know, to me. He was like 15, dude, he was so athletic, mature, strong to me. He was like Superman in clothes, you know? And I'm like, I'll never be 15. I just turned 58. I'm almost 15 times four. Seems like yesterday. Life, here today, gone tomorrow. Wisp, vapor of time. When you're young, you can't wait till you're 13, teenager. You're thinking 16, drive. You're thinking 18, illegal, adult. Some kids, for wrong reason, 21, right? But after 21, there's no more goals. So then you're 25 and you're going, ah! And you're like, stop the train. But by the time you're saying stop the train, you're 30. Then you're 35 and 40. Who knows what I'm talking about? We all know. It's flying, man. You got this one little window, and it's a gift. And it's called life. And here's the raw truth of the Bible. Ecclesiastes says there's a time to be born. It's impossible that you're happenstance. It's impossible that you're an accident. He's the author and giver of where's life come from? There's a time to be. He sees your days. He knew you before you were known, before the foundation of the world. This is your day. This is my day. Somebody says, calm down. No, you got that way wrong. Calm down. You're wrong. You're being deceived. Calm down. No, you get worked up about a lot of things that don't matter if you're not careful. Right? So it ain't about calm down. It's about that you go after truth. And I settled in my heart a long time ago, I'm going to grow into this thing. I'm done. I'm done letting things matter more than what matters most. And I'm not going to use God as a survival kit. I'm not going to hold on to God and try to make it till the end. What is that? Somebody try to wrap scripture around that for me. Like, there's no scripture that even teaches these mentalities. You actually sang it tonight. Blood of the Lamb, word of our testimony. And we all overcome. But guess what the third one is? Wasn't in the song. Not correcting the song. The third one's left out all the time. We say, how do we overcome? Blood of the Lamb, word of our testimony. Yeah, that's we learn how to do church. But guess what the third one is? And they loved not their own lives unto death. Wouldn't that be amazing if the fear of death ended for every one of us? Because we already settled in our heart and realized we're never going to die. It ain't about dying, it's about living. Wouldn't that be amazing? So we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What makes those two so powerful? They hinge on loving not your own life unto death. So the fear equation is going and the self-centered motive is going. You get it? Am I making sense? Hebrews 2 says that he's the captain of our salvation. He's the end of the fear of the bondage of death for all of us who believe. Who were held captive by that fear our whole lives. You see why it's so important to deny yourself? I'm going to close with this. I'm going to be gentle with you guys. I flew all the way out here, and I'm probably going to end early in my mind. But I'm going to wrap this up with this. Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our image. You can call God a lot of things, glory, majesty, omnipotent, omniscient. You can come up with a whole list. You've seen the lists already. You ever see people do them creative things with names of God and stuff? It's pretty cool. But when you look at the Bible, there's something that God's described as who he is, not what he does. God is what? God is love. Now, isn't that what makes him so amazing? He's all powerful and all knowing, but he's love. I wonder if he was all powerful and he was a tyrant. I wonder if he was just some evil, wicked sorcerer like you see in a cartoon with a little body and a big head and he's evil and a pointy chin. I want to rule the world. Growing up on the cartoons, the person that was seeking the power, wasn't he always twisted? The one that wanted all the power, you know, Aladdin and the little movie, the kids' movie, Aladdin that came out, and the Jafar guy, he wanted to be the most powerful. Why? So he could rule the world. It was wicked. It was always evil. The ruler of the world, the guy that was always looking to rule the world, always had twisted, evil, wicked, self-centered motives. But here's God. He is all that. And he's love. And we've all missed it big time. And he sees us through his son as if we never did. You better get this. This is scriptural. We've all sinned. He sees us through his son as if you never did. I hope you get that. I hope you understand that he sees you as if you've never sinned. You're righteous in his sight. You're not guilty. You're innocent. You're blameless. You're holy and above reproach in his sight, if you believe what I'm saying, Colossians teaches. Now, nobody ever taught me that in my life. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? That on my darkest day, love looked at me and said, you're more than that. I know you from the beginning. You have a greater potential. You're blind. Love hung on a cross and said, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. What's he saying? They don't get it, but we know. I had no idea who I was the whole time. He knew all the time. So his love never failed. That's why he's not angry like our parents used to try to use that. Well, you just made God mad. I don't believe that. Love covers a multitude of sin. Where sin abounds, grace what? Not to empower the sin, to remove the sin, to overwhelm me with his goodness. I understand. You can read a lot of judgment scriptures, and a lot of them are end times, and a lot of them are law of sin and death. But New Testament, when you look, you can't show me a scripture where the judgment of God or the wrath of God changes a man's life. But I can show you scripture where his goodness does, and where his love does. I don't love him, Pastor, because I'm supposed to. I love him because I see his first love. But if you don't see his first love, you'll feel indebted to him and you'll get reduced to serving him instead of knowing him. Are you with me? And all of a sudden you'll hear the gospel message and you'll think you owe God something. You'll pray a prayer because you should. You'll go to church because it's right. But life will still move you like it did before. And how many miles can you drive on that gas without the tank going empty? And why would God empower you to drive on a road you were never created to travel? Did you ever hear somebody say, life's a grind? Life's a bleep, a blank. Life's tough. Life's a this. Life's a that. You ever hear all those adjectives people call life? Life's none of the above. Life's a gift. And the only reason it feels that way to people, because they're living it outside of why they're here. I'm not the wisest man. I'm not a politician. I'm not a philosopher. I believe I'm right on this. The biggest problem on the planet isn't the president. It's not racial conflict. It's not ISIS. It's not economy. The biggest problem on the planet is that every day, even people that go to church, every day, men wake up and live for themselves when they're made for his image. It's the biggest problem on the planet. And Jesus said, if anybody comes after me, that means we're all invited. Don't complex this thing. Jesus said, if anybody would come after me, he's talking to you, he's talking to you, he's talking to me. There's one thing you got to do, because it's the biggest problem of all. You got to deny yourself. Now, you be honest with me. If I learn what that means and do that, am I still going to react the way I reacted before? Am I still hurt like I was before? Am I still offended like I was before? If it sincerely isn't about me, but it's about his great name, doesn't that change my response in situations? Whoa. Here's the gist of what I'm talking about. God is love. You get that, right? He made man what? To love. Now catch this. This is what I saw 24 years ago in my Bible. It changed my life forever. I realized God made man to love. It's the reason you're on the earth, is to love. Not to be love, to love. But when man got cut off from God, who is the source of love through sin, guess what he became? In need of love. And every man since that day was born into Adam in need of love and self-centered and self-focused. Every man born into the fall of man, born into Adam, Romans 5, right? Through one man's disobedience, every man became unrighteous and disobedient, right? So you and I were born into Adam. We were born into a lie. We were born into self-centeredness, and we were born into the desperate need to be loved. So not one of us in this room. So here's how it goes down. Adam lost his created value and his identity through sin when he got separated from God. Lost sight of who he was and why he was. Are you with me? None of us, when we were born, had any clue who we were. There's people today that found their identity through the way life unfolded, found their identity through others and how they were treated. Some of the better stories, people came out a little better. Some of the tough stories, no wonder we're not doing good. You follow me? So you and I, from little up, from birth, we're in this desperate need to be valued, to be appreciated, to be honored. And it was a detriment to our lives because most of us didn't get those things like we needed. And they became our excuses and our reasons for the way we were. And then it has to be somebody's fault because they weren't there. And in that arena, your heart can only get more hard and more hurt. Are you with me? It wasn't that way from the beginning. From the beginning, you were created to love. Not need it, be it. Now watch this. Every man was born into Adam since that day, and you must be born. Somehow we got tricked into turning at large. I'm not saying you, pastor of this church, at large, body of Christ. Somehow we got tricked into turning born again into a beneficial message that blessed me without transforming. Are you with me? Born again. As if I was never born before. Because when I was born, Nicodemus said, how can a man go into his mother and be, how? He said, no, no, what is of flesh is of flesh. But what is of the spirit is of the spirit. He's talking about being born again, spirit, where God's spirit comes back inside of me and his nature and his purpose and his person is alive in me. Yeah? And I didn't just sign up for life eternal. I gave back what was never mine in the first place. My life. So that Christ in me could be the glory of God revealed. And I got back to why I was here in the first place. You get it? So no longer, watch this. This now I'm getting a little flaky. I feel it. Watch this. I'll be trying to be as calm as I can for you. But this is a challenge right now. Because I did not wake up for you to love me today. In me could be the glory of God revealed. And I got back to why I was here in the first place. You get it? So no longer, watch this. This now I'm getting a little flaky. I feel it. Watch this. I'll be trying to be as calm as I can for you. But this is a challenge right now. Because I did not wake up for you to love me today. In me, Christ in me. You get it? So you don't have the power over me today. Because you don't owe me a thing. Because I read it in Romans. You owe no man anything but to love. Love fulfills the law. And you can hang all the prophets and all the law on love. And it does no harm to a neighbor. Come on, that's all scripture.
Yay.
1 Timothy 1:5, you know what it says? The goal of our instruction, the purpose of the commandment, it's love. 1 Timothy 1:5. Watch, I'm going to get serious with you. I'm going to get real narrow and serious. I'll stay lighthearted, but I'm sober about it. If we miss becoming love in our lives, we'll find we miss the whole reason he came. He came to restore us back to what we were, not take us to heaven someday. The kingdom of God is at hand.
Go preach saying, the kingdom of God is where? Here. Where is it?
In you. The kingdom of God is the expression of the king. You look up the word righteousness. I don't know if you ever did this personally, but do it. Righteousness has two strong meanings in the New Testament. When you talk about the righteousness of God, it means the ability given by God, a gift, to stand in his presence without any sense of guilt, condemnation, or shame because of the blood of Jesus. That's righteous. Jesus rules his kingdom with a scepter of righteousness. Be honest with me. How quick do people get guilty, condemned, ashamed, self-conscious, self-centered, feel bad? Well, I just feel bad. Stop. The fact that you feel bad means your heart's alive. It means you care. And then you're condemning yourself, calling yourself all this other stuff. And the truth is, you couldn't even be condemned if you didn't have a pure heart on the inside. Because if you didn't care, you wouldn't be condemned. Condemnation wouldn't be able to trick you. Are you with me? How many people have you met that are quick to put themselves down, to feel bad, to live guilty, to say, well, I'm ashamed, to lose sight of their value? We've been tricked into it our whole lives, man. And when you do that, then you don't see the value of you. You don't see, and then you don't see how he sees you. We're going to talk about this. Actually, we're going to talk about this a lot in the morning. If you can show up, we're going to talk about this a lot in the morning. It's a clincher on getting you to him. A lot of people don't have intimacy with him. They just have a needs list of prayer. A lot of people don't just walk through their house and you're getting breakfast and your hubby's in the bathroom and you just got a song in your heart and you're just, Father, I just thank you for your love for me. Father, the way you see me today is overwhelming. Thank you that you see me righteous in your sight. Jesus, thank you for your blood. And you're just doing your thing. And you're just excited to be alive. And you're not wondering how he's going to treat you. And is he going to say he loves you? And is he going to hold you or just touch you rhetorically on the way out the door? And you just don't feel as close because you, and now you're self-conscious and now you're even different. And 6 months from now, we got a problem. And what even happened? Yeah. It's called self-centeredness. It's called keeping your eyes on yourself and not on him. It's called letting your spouse decide who you are and how you are instead of Jesus being Lord. Come on. Oh, you need somebody to fly in and just talk like this a little bit because I'm leaving. He can brush it all up. Come on. If love doesn't seek its own and takes no account of a suffered wrong, why are we justified when we're offended? Why is our story greater than love? Why do I make what happened to me greater than what he's called me to be? Come on, if love doesn't seek its own, it never fails, takes no account of a suffered wrong, why are we so busted up by each other? Why would somebody ever leave a church because of offense? Why would anybody ever get mad at God? Are you with me? Come on, all I'm doing is preaching freedom. It's freedom from you. It's freedom from yourself. When I get free from me, truly, when I'm free from me, guess who I'm free from? You. And now I can finally love you. And I'm finally free to have a healthy relationship with you because you don't owe me a thing. You get it? That's healthy community. And all of a sudden, we have a like heart, one mind, one faith, one spirit. We're all living for his great name. We're all waking up to shine. I wonder if this little Watford town, and here's some people that represent Jesus, I wonder if the folks that I'm looking at, which is an army to God, it's an army. This is an army. Wonder if this room right here that's looking at me would just decide to live this way and wake up to shine every day. Wake up to walk in love. Wake up to honor and appreciate each other and people and lay down their life to love. I wonder if they set their heart in this room to not be offended, discouraged, live in highs and lows, but just go after God. To just go to work and have like the most wonderful Jesus attitude. To just be loving and forgiving and kind. To refuse to be offended and frustrated and hurt and discouraged and disappointed. What if you just pray yourself into that? And when nobody's looking, you're putting it off and putting him on in prayer because you believe he loves you and he's empowering you. What would that start looking like to the people around you, letting your light so shine before me? Somehow we always think it's doing a miracle or a phenomenal healing. Who knows? That's amazing. But I tell you, when you walk in the light as he's in the light, that's the finished work of the cross. One of his finest expressions. When you're loving like Jesus loves, then we've arrived at what he paid for. If not, we're going to get tricked into going to church and let that take the place of knowing him. And then being the church won't be our reality. And you could go and never miss a service, serve in a ministry, give up your tithes, get thrown into crisis and respond like the man that never went to church. Get treated wrong and respond like the man that doesn't even believe in God. And then we have to question, what am I doing? What am I here for? Because if we're just one wrongdoing away from being okay, that would make an easy job if there is an enemy. Yeah? Doesn't he roam around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour? I don't think he's impressed with our worship service tonight. I don't think he's impressed that you're here listening to me preach, and I don't think he's impressed with my preaching. I think he's impressed when you live like Jesus and walk like Jesus and look like Jesus. I think he's impressed when you're done wrong and you love like he loves. I think he's impressed when you don't know how to get offended and take life personal because you've taken the gospel personal. I bet you that's what Jesus meant when he said, the ruler of this world cometh and has nothing in me. That man that James talks about that keeps himself. I think Jude makes reference, but James talks about, he says, the evil one touches him not. Why? He has nothing to work with.
You get it? Yay.
When you squeeze an orange, what do you get? You get orange juice. You don't get apple. Would it be weird if you got apple juice? You'd be afraid to call a friend and try to tell them. If you took out your little Pampered Chef thing with the little ridges on it and you just slid open the door where the pulp just went bloop, 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 and it was apple, right back in the cup. Am I telling the truth? Would it be weird? Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? That should be weird. Oh, I wish that was so weird. I wish it was so weird to squeeze a Christian and get anything but Christ, that you squeeze and Jesus comes out of him. You squeeze a little harder, bah, Jesus just coming out. And all of a sudden, Satan starts learning, oh my goodness, this guy's legit. And the more I try to break him, the more I help make him. And he manifests light all the more. And then light exposes darkness, and that's what I rule. Woo, I better stop squeezing. That sure beats him being touchy and self-centered and saying, why is God letting all this stuff happen to me? Everything's going wrong at once. What else is going to happen? God, where are you? I thought you loved me. You ever hear anybody talk like that? It's so unscriptural. You're supposed to be rooted and grounded in love. You find the love of God through the cross, not your circumstances. You're supposed to love not your own life unto death. So when he's getting squeezed, that's never the issue. Shining's the issue. So if you submit to God and resist, guess what he'll do? Bingo. So what Satan comes to break you in, he runs the risk of making you because you're a believer. You get it? So I probably don't have trouble. I probably have an answer. And the just live by faith. Are y'all with me tonight? Come on, this is what we're on the planet for. This is why Jesus came. This is why he shed his blood. He honestly came and gave his life. Think about it. Christmas. We're right up on Christmas right now. Take time and think about it. God chose to come in the flesh. He let Holy Spirit put him in the womb of a woman. Some theologians say Mary might have been like 14 or 15 years old. I don't know. That's irrelevant to me in a sense. What's relevant to me is that God came and put himself in the womb of a woman so that he would come as a man to pay the price for man because of the value he's placed on man because of man's purpose. Now, no preacher in my life, and I didn't know you, so you're innocent. No preacher in my life ever told me Jesus came and died on the cross because he valued me. Every preacher told me he came because I was a wretched sinner. Nobody told me he came because he valued me and knew what my life could be if he was inside me. Do you pay a price for something if you don't think it's worth it? Come on, I know us. We're bargain hunters. We're 50% off. We wait for the sale. We're 2 for 1. We're buffet all you can eat. I know us guys. You go buy a car, you Kelly Blue book it and everything, and the guy actually has a decent price, and you're thinking, man, you know, it says 13.3. He's got 13.4 on the window. You know, you still try to get him to 12.6, 12.3, get him to pay all the taxes. Am I telling the truth? Here's my point. When you finally write the check, what do you believe? That what you're getting as the purchased possession is what? Well worth what you paid. Well, God paid the blood of his son to redeem my life. What does that mean to him? He believes the purchased possession, my life redeemed and restored, is well worth the price that he paid. For God so loved. It's not some whooshy, wink your eye, turn your head love. It's knowing who he created us to be and paying a price to restore that truth. Or Jesus wouldn't have came as a man. The reason he came as a man was to restore everything he created man to be. So he fulfilled what man failed. And then the blood of a man goes on the mercy seat. And a man, the man, sits at the right hand of God on that mercy seat, on that blood, and vows with his life to fulfill everything he promised. Ah! That is more than a baby in a manger story. It's the message of redemption. This is why I came. And you and I have this amazing creative purpose and value. To love not our own lives unto death and wake up every day and pursue love. Pursue him. And let our light so shine and believe in our heart that nobody knows anything. In closing, you be honest with me. If you settled that in your heart that nobody owes you a thing, what would that cause your life to start to look like starting now? Wonder if you owed no man anything but to love. Not seek your own and not take account of suffering. Wouldn't it be great to not blame your mood or your attitude on another person? Wouldn't it be great if you could actually blame your mood and attitude on him? Because it shines. And even though you've been done wrong, you've been done so right that it matters more. You get it? All I preach to you, tonight. I promise you, all I preach to you tonight is what it means to be a Christian and what it means to live by faith. Because honestly, if you don't feel this way, that's irrelevant. You believe this way and your feelings will start to line up. Right? The just live by. Satan comes like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Resist him, standing steadfast in the faith. Shouting at the devil is not what he's talking about. Continuing to believe what you believe is what he's talking about. And don't let time change you, and don't let stuff change you. Don't let details, information, and circumstances change you. Why? You've already been established in him.
You with me?
So when your wife, like my wife, goes into identity crisis for 8 years in our marriage while I was pastoring and believes her life is invaluable and I couldn't help her, I didn't even know how to help her because she wouldn't hear it. She was so believing. People said hi to her because they liked me. And she said, I'm just his wife. That's a good way to lose your value. So for 8 years, I cheer her on and encourage her. People say, 8 years? 8 years is not a long time. Truth doesn't know time. Self-centeredness is very conscious of time. You get it? 8 days, 8 weeks, 8 years. Wonder if God watched your life and said, this has been tough. Be real with me. Wonder if God pulled the plug on you because of time. Could you picture God summoning Michael and Gabriel and some people to hover around him in heaven and say, guys, just lay hands on me and pray me through this, man. I can't take much more. If they don't change soon, I just don't think. I mean, you can only take so much. Can you picture God saying that? Could you picture Jesus just waking up some morning or already being awake because he prayed all night, just sitting on the Mount of Olives on a rock, just kind of bummed out, just forlorn. Peter coming up, Lord, what's the matter? It's all right, Peter. I don't want to talk about it. No, Lord, I've never seen you this way. What's the matter, man? I don't know if you'd understand. You're just not me. You're not in my shoes. Honestly, Peter, I try to do right. I do right every day, every day. People don't appreciate it. They say it's evil. It's wicked. I heal the sick and they try to figure out what demon. I multiply their food and they follow me just because they want more food. I'm just a little overwhelmed with where the hearts of people are. And it seems like the harder you try, the more it exposes just how far away they are from even loving me. I just ain't feeling it today. And I don't think I'm going out there and facing them. So I just think I'm going to hang back today and just chill. No, John, you're not today. Get away. No. You see how silly that sounds when you make Jesus what we're familiar with? When you make Jesus what we've known as normal, it sounds hilarious. Which means he never taught us that. So if we didn't get it from him, where'd we get it? It's what it means to deny yourself. Could you ever picture Jesus is carrying the cross to Golgotha? He's beat beyond description. You know that, right? Like, you can't tell who he is. The Bible makes that clear. They marred him more than anyone was ever marred. That means when they were done flogging and beating, smacking and smashing, he was unrecognizable. Why? Because when sin got done with Adam, he didn't look anything like he was created. So Jesus came and lost his appearance to pay the price to get our identity back. But could you picture him halfway to Golgotha, just starting to get analytical and running through his mind and all of a sudden just dropping the cross and saying, that's it, Father, I am not taking another step. I am not dying on the silly cross. These people, if they hit me with one more stick, I'm telling you, girl. Father, these people are idiots, man. Are you kidding me? How many healings? The books of the world wouldn't even contain them if they were written one by one. Miracle after miracle. I raise the dead and they want to kill me. Barabbas, that's what really got me, Lord. I'm just dwelling on this Barabbas thing got me shook. I mean, I can only take so much. This is too much. He kills a man. I raise the dead. They want to release him and kill me. He causes conspiracy. I'm here to make peace and they want to kill me. People are off the rocker, man. If they didn't change by now, they ain't never going to change. And I don't know what we even see in them. I am not dying on the cross. Here's the dilemma. We just know he can't be like that. So we expect that of him to be the way he is. And we separate him from us. But he said, Christ in you, he made us one. He said, follow me, firstborn among many brethren. The things I do, you'll do if you believe as he is. So are we in this world, the body of Christ. You need any more scripture? That nails it down. The other mistake we make, we say, well, why couldn't he ever say that? Because he's Jesus. No, because he's love. If you say he couldn't say it because he's Jesus, then you make him something you could never be. And you couldn't follow him. But if he couldn't say it because he's love, now you have something to pursue and become. And the goal of our instruction is love. And if he loved us, 1 John 2, this way, ought we not love one another?
Yeah? I'm going to pray with you. I'm done. I went way longer than I expected. It's 8:52. Is that late? Is that long? It probably just dropped a couple degrees. That's it. So it was -6 and now it's -8. That's not a heavy price to pay, right? You guys can handle it. I mean, we're all, for some reason, sentenced to Siberia anyway. Some reason you're here. There's some kind of punishment. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. You guys okay? Come on, I'm just crying out. I'm just stirring your hearts. I want to bring a conviction. I have a lot of intentions in my heart when I preach this way. But my number one goal is to teach you and show you through Scripture and through Jesus' life who we are now that he's come and who we're created to be, the why behind the cross. I'm, in my opinion, Pastor Sheldon, the why behind the cross has to be clarified in a Christian's heart, and we have to understand why we are what we say we are. Because if you understand why you are a Christian, how will you ever walk in the victory of the cross and bear the fruit of what he paid for? Yeah? And if the only reason you're a Christian is to get something from him, you'll never become what he's empowering you to be. You might find yourself discouraged. You might want to read Hebrews because discouragement is unscriptural also.
And we think it's normal. Most pastors will tell you, I know it sounds like I'm projecting on people, but at large, the majority of pastors and leaders will tell you from their experience that if somebody says that you don't need to be discouraged, it's an overstatement and not facing reality. And now we're just trying to relate instead of let grace change us. The Bible says the only way you can be discouraged in Hebrews 12 is if you're considering yourself. And it says we should look unto Jesus and consider him, because that's where I find the truth. See how powerful the word is? He gives us every answer. Yay. Can I pray over y'all? Father, I just thank you for this night. I thank you for the people that came here that had a hunger and a desire to be here. Even if they came by ball and chain, I'm just glad they're here. But that doesn't even matter to me. Lord, what matters is that your word is true. Your grace is in this room. And I believe you minister to the hearts of people. And I just thank you that if the sower sows the word, man, you said, if he sows, it'll grow. And I just thank you. You said, not just any herb of the field, but it'll grow into something big and bring shade and refuge to many. So I ask that grace in this room tonight. I pray that for some, this would be a marker night. This would be a night that would shift, that in many ways, the things I said just added weight and strength to things this pastor and Pastor John and Sheldon would have already said, and other ministers. I just pray that out of the mouths of two or more, this thing would just get clearer and confirmed and established. So But let none of us in this room grow weary in well-doing, Lord. Let us run this race worthy of a prize. And let us never get tricked again to letting things matter more than what matters most. I pray for that grace in our lives, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. I'm not going to do this long because I usually do this long. It usually takes me about a half hour. I don't want to do that, but we want to pray for the sick real quick. This isn't religious, and you'll see it's not religious because you'll be able to testify or share. And then, you know, the next time we see you, or you can tell your pastor, your friend, or whatever, this will not be religious. If you're sick in your body and you need healing in your body, just let us see who you are and just raise your hand right where you're at. You don't have to do a thing, but acknowledge that I'm talking to you. And don't think you're claiming the sickness. You're just saying there's something in my life that's less than wholeness, and I would love to be healed. I would believe for God to heal me tonight. You're not claiming a sickness. Raise your hand up with me. You see them, people with their hands up, keep your hand up. If you're sitting real near them, don't overwhelm them. Don't smother them. Just slip up to somebody, grab their fingers, say, hey, I'm going to believe with you when he prays. Just find somebody. Just look around. I need somebody to grab a hand of everybody who has a hand up. There's a young lady back in the corner. Would somebody just go run and hold her hand, please? It's important. The more you believe in the goodness of God, the more you'll believe in healing. And we've all lost loved ones. I lost my mother to sickness, but I pray for the sick, man. I see people on the streets. I see people on the airplane. I see people hurting. I say, hey, what's going on? Can I just pray? Watch. I've learned this. If we don't sow, nothing grows. If we're afraid to pray because we're afraid nothing will happen, then we always have what we fear because we've never even believed. You hear me? So tonight we're going to be real simple with this. We're just going to believe that he loves people and he paid a price to restore, to heal. So right now, with that, you touching their hand, I'm going to pray over you, but I want you to believe with me and just speak something direct and simple. You don't even have to ask them what's wrong. Just say something like, be whole in Jesus' name. Just speak that over them. Father, I thank you for wholeness in this room. I thank you that you take away situations, symptoms. You make weak things strong. Diseases be removed. Body parts work and function. Father, I'm just praying for a sweep and a move of your healing in a very special and very quick way right now tonight. That you just move through this room. That infirmity would not stand a chance in the glory of who you are. And that weakness would be swallowed up in the strength of who you are. Wholeness in this room and healing. In Jesus' name. Father, if sleep was challenging to anyone tonight, if physical conditions were keeping people from sleeping in peace and rest, I thank you tonight as a great marker that they will sleep tonight. Wake up weeping in the morning and say, I can't even remember when I slept this way. Father, I thank you that people feel rested. People that have been in anxiety, I thank you for a peace upon their soul, even through this message, but even because of your grace. And I see this other thing. I'm just going to speak this one thing. Just a fatigue. There's some kind of fatigue in a couple people. There's like four people in this room. I feel this in my heart. You're suffering an extreme fatigue. It has you concerned. You don't even really know what it's from, but you notice it and you perceive it, and it's not normal for your life, but you've been in that season. And I just thank you, God, tonight you swallow up that fatigue. If that's you, you just thank him for loving you, and you just believe and receive that right now. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for your grace. So wholeness in the room, and I thank you, testimonies are revealed from this little moment of just trusting your goodness and believing your love. And I thank you for it in Jesus' holy name. Amen? Amen, God.